Time here on RNIB Connect Radio to chat with blind composer and musician Zoe Dixon, who has just started as composer in association with the Joyful Company of Singers, who are based in London. Hello, Zoe, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Firstly, Zoe, where did your love of music come from? As I think you started playing the piano at the age of 4, maybe 5. And was music something part of your home life at all?
Absolutely, yes. My mother's side of the family in particular, very musical. So my grandma was a pianist. There were composers in the family as well. And when I was very small, my older sister was taking piano lessons. She's quite a bit older than me. So she was taking her grade 8 piano around about the time when I was 3 or 4. So I did grow up with sort of the sound of her practicing, doing her scales, not always the best thing to hear early in the morning. But yeah, that was a huge inspiration to me. And I sort of started picking up sort of bits of what she was playing. She sort of gave me my first piano lessons. And then, as you say, I started sort of more formal piano lessons around about the age of sort of 4 or 5. So yeah, really huge influence on me in terms of the family I was growing up around.
Apart from obviously your family's connections with composing and playing and stuff, were there any other composers and musicians who inspired you? Because I think it's not only the piano that you learned to play, you also learned to play the clarinet and the harp, and I think also the organ and the guitar.
Well, yes, with varying degrees of competence, it has to be said. So I sort of, as I got into music sort of more seriously, that would have sort of started in secondary school. I was encouraged to look into more repertoire. And sort of as I got more capable, it was really good to sort of explore some of the music I was then sort of able to play. And at that point, I started getting inspired by other musicians, other compositions. So it's through that, the pieces I was learning, that I started discovering composition. So I was playing some Bach when I was about 11 or 12, and I was thinking, how does he do that? That is really fascinating. And how do I do that? So that was a huge inspiration. And then not long after, I came across a competition for composition. That was my first actual composition competition. And that was celebrating the Benjamin Britten centenary. So that was also a huge inspiration. And through that competition, I got to know Benjamin Britten a lot better as well.
And I suppose it's very sort of, I mean, I'm not really a musician at all, and my wife can certainly vouch for that. My singing is atrocious. But I think when you're listening to music, sometimes you think, well, how is this put together? And you listen to a composer, absolutely, you know, whether it's classical or modern. And for you, as somebody who is a composer, when you're listening to something, what are you listening out for? And when you're composing something, how are you sort of thinking about that process?
I think, in terms of the composition process, it depends what I'm composing. If it's something with lyrics, so if it's a choral piece, for example, I start with the words and that drives pretty much everything. And if I'm not, then it would be more to do with sort of the wider structure, and I'd sort of come in that way. So I start with the larger structure and work inwards, if that makes sense. And all of these, so when I'm listening to music, there's a lot of things that I'm considering. Obviously, it will depend on what kind of music it is, because I listen to a lot of different types of music. Structure tends to be something that I listen to a lot, because it's something that I am interested in my own composition, and something that I've been trying to develop. So it kind of, I know this sounds like a horrible, selfish thing to say, but what I tend to listen to in music very much depends on what I'm concentrating on in my own composition work at the time. So at the moment, I'm seeing its structure. Maybe in a few months' time, it'll be sort of timbre or rhythm. It does vary an awful lot. And of course, none of these things can be looked at in isolation either.
No, I think that's totally true. I think, you know, musicians and composers get inspired by all sorts of things when you look at, you know, all the composers and stuff, whether it's what's around them, the countryside, or just what's happening in the world as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the countryside is a huge inspiration of mine. So all the way through, I've been very interested in birdsong fascinated by it, and I know it's a bit of a trope in terms of composers listening to birds and writing music about it, but I definitely have done my fair share of that. And very recently, I had the privilege to compose a recorder piece for James Risden, who's a colleague that I've known and worked with for many years. And in that piece in particular, I was looking at the natural world as an inspiration, because at the time I was writing, we were sort of in the thick of, I think it was the second or third wave of COVID. We were in lockdown, everything was eerily quiet, and I really wanted to work with that as a compositional idea.
Yeah, and I suppose you were at New College Worcester, which is a very sort of rural county, I suspect. And Worcestershire, Herefordshire, and Gloucestershire are very renowned for their musical connections. What was life like at Worcester for you, and did you get much support from the college in your musical studies?
Oh, certainly. I did get a huge amount of support from the New College Music Department. They were absolutely fantastic, and I'm very lucky that I was supported in the way that I was supported. At Worcester, I was really, that's where I started to be encouraged to explore composition a little bit more formally, because obviously I sort of made things up when I was younger, but I wasn't really encouraged, I wasn't really taught. That all changed when I started music classes at Worcester. Composition was a huge part of what we did, and I think I really benefited from that. So thank you to them.
And you've just graduated fairly recently from Oxford as well. And what was your time at Oxford like? And again, I mean, were you well supported as a blind musician and composer student in your studies?
Absolutely. So of course it was very different to New College in that there wasn't sort of the specialist necessarily focus on sort of the support that was in place for visually impaired musicians. But I was very fortunate in that somebody had gone through, who was also blind, had gone through Oxford music department a couple of years before I did. So a lot of the path was fortunately already sort of in place. So they sort of knew what they were doing a little bit more with me and how to support me. And of course, my tutors were really very understanding and very keen to support in sort of the ways that they could. So we sort of developed sort of an approach in terms of A, how I would learn music, because I was in a couple of ensembles, so I did everything pretty much by ear. And then also in terms of actually learning sort of the more advanced aspects of composition that I sort of encountered there, we came up with really interesting approaches on how we did that in a way that sort of made sense to me as a blind musician, because a lot of the more advanced techniques really are quite visual in sort of the way they've been conceived. So you sort of think of the diagrammatic compositions that you started to get in the sort of 20th, 21st centuries, and how those were sort of sonified. And it was really interesting to work with my tutors to come up with a way of discussing these, sort of potentially incorporating aspects of those sound worlds into my work in a way that I understood. And again, I'm very lucky to have been supported in the way that I was while I was at Oxford.
And as I mentioned in my introduction, you have just taken up the role of composer in association with the Joyful Company of Singers. How did this sort of role come about, and what will be your involvement with them as composer in association?
So the role came about through a mutual friend of myself and the powers that be at Joyful Company of Singers. And I'm sure she will potentially be known to quite a lot of our listeners. She did work with RNIB for quite a number of years. So Sally Zimmerman introduced us, basically. And at one stage, it wasn't really understood that I'd be carrying on sort of in a more sort of formalized role. It started off merely as Joyful Company of Singers had offered to sing one of the pieces that I had composed as part of my final exam portfolio for the composition module I sat. Unfortunately, that never came to pass, obviously, because of COVID. Things sort of, obviously, the whole performing arts world froze, especially in terms of choral singing. Possibly the least safe thing you could do in COVID, sort of stand in a room full of other people singing. It's that really did put any sort of plans on hold in terms of working with Joyful Company of Singers. But sort of as things went on, we got talking, and the Joyful Company of Singers reached out to me sort of last summer with a really generous offer to work with them as their composer in association. It's such a privilege to work with Joyful Company, a really talented group of singers, really diverse interests in terms of repertoire. So in terms of the role at Joyful Company of Singers, that's sort of evolving. So there's a lot of flexibility within the role. I will be sort of delivering a few commissions over the next year. Two of them have already been composed, so they're set up to December, and I've still got to look at what we'll be doing for the rest of the year and how I can help with that, how I can tailor what I'm doing as composer in association around the plans of the choir. That'll be really great to sort of proceed with in the next few months. So it's all about sort of being there for the choir and doing what I can to sort of benefit them. So there's a sort of symbiotic relationship, as it were. So it's not restricted merely to just writing pieces for the choir and shutting up. It's not like that at all. It's been really sort of dynamic, and that's been fantastic to work with them in that way.
And where do you see your future going sort of at the moment? I know obviously you've got this role of composer in association, but do you see in the future you're sort of moving into maybe composing music or performing, or is it just maybe a bit of both?
So that's a really interesting question. And of course, I mean, the future for many individuals in the performing arts is kind of in flux at the moment, partly due to COVID. And sort of while I was coming out of university, that was really playing on my mind. So I'm currently in a position where there are sort of non-musical commitments alongside my musical commitments. Hopefully, if things go as I expect them to, if things go well, potentially I'll be looking to take on more composition and sort of balance that alongside whatever else I'm doing. I'm not sure really that I'm qualified to be looking at trying to perform, but I do hope that I can carry on with music performance in sort of a less formal setting on a sort of hobby basis, because I do enjoy playing. I enjoy singing. I was in a choir at Oxford. I was in the Worcester College Chapel Choir, and that was a really great experience. I do hope to be able to continue with that going forwards.
Zoe, I suspect if people want to find out a bit more about your role as composer in association with the Joyful Company of Singers, is to maybe go to their website to find out what you're going to be up to over the next year or so.
Yeah, absolutely. There'll be details of sort of what I'll be doing, what they'll be doing. Of course, that's the main attraction, what they'll be doing. But yeah, you'll be able to see just exactly what that role entails, sort of as the year unfolds, as my role with JCOS goes on.
The Joyful Company of Singers website is jcos.co.uk. And thank you very much indeed, Zoe Dixon, blind composer and musician, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.